All right, let's just go for it. No, that wasn't. All right, let's just go for it. All right, let's just go for it.
I'm joined by right, Mel B.
All right, let's just go for it. No, I don't think, I'm not sure I'm doing her justice. All right, no. All right, let's just go for it. No, I'm not sure that was it.
Do you want to describe what you were doing there?
At the beginning of What's Up by Mel B, the classic. Is What's Up, isn't it?
Word Up.
Oh. At the beginning of Word Up by Mel B.
Cover of the cameo hit.
Yeah. She goes, all right, let's just go for it. And she does it in a really funny accent. And now, all right, let's just go for it. Is I'm not... Should we listen to the beginning of it?
Yes, go for it.
All right, let's just go for it. Yeah, there you go. All right, let's just go for it. And she looks hella modern in the video. She's all covered in tinfoil. She's got long fingernails.
She looks like a cyborg. Space robot.
She looks, yeah, like someone you would find on the moon.
I mean, I think she is on the moon, isn't she?
Don't know. She's on, you haven't listened to the playlist. She's, I don't know, wherever Dr. Evil is.
It's in space.
Yeah.
Is that the first Austin Powers? No, it's the second or the third.
That's a good question. At one point, I would have been able to tell you because I had the album of The Spy Who Shagged Me. Can't remember why. There must have been something on it.
Don't you? Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
And I think that was one of the classic HMV exports. And anyone who is anywhere near our age and paid money in HMV will know that an HMV export cheapest was £18. I believe it was £18.99. I always used to leave the HMV export stickers on with the price so I'd remember how much I spent on, because it was so hideously expensive. £18.99, I think, was a standard for HMV export.
You didn't want to forget.
Import. No?
Right, I think it is The Spy Who Shagged Me because I've seen that record and it says...
Maybe that's why I know it so well.
It says Mel G because she was Mel G at the time, otherwise known as Scary Spice, because the Americans didn't know her name. They just knew Scary Spice, I think.
But that must be why I know it. But I can't have bought it for this song, so I wonder why I bought it.
It's got Beautiful Stranger on it, that.
No, that wasn't why I bought it.
You just buy it because you're a hella fan of Austin Powers.
I did like Austin Powers, and I think I thought The Spy Who Shagged Me was incredibly funny at the time.
Well, do you
I've
know
I've not
what?
Watched it in ages, but you know, obviously it's not the same as it is now in today's world, but when you really liked a film and stuff, you would buy the poster, you'd buy the CD, you'd do everything about it because... Let's have a look. American Woman, Lenny Kravitz, Time of the Season, Word Up. Just the two of us. It might have been that. Because Dragging the Line. No, actually, I think it's Dragging the Line because I really like the Boy Meets Girl version of Dragging the Line, which is also on Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which I'm sure it's Boy Meets World, is it?
Don't know.
Look up the song Dragging the Line. It's a really good song. It's on... soundtrack to Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and if you haven't watched that, very funny, very 80s, Jogging the Line. Beat Goes Bang, that was it. Beat Goes Bang, not Boy Meets World, but very similar. But maybe
Spotify.
Maybe that was it because it was obviously at a time when you didn't get the option to listen to our REM version or whatever version. Listen to a bit and you'll see what I mean. Right, listen to the 80s version. It's hella funky. And there's a picture of a cassette on the screen because I think that's important to know. And Christina Applegate in a cassette. You don't get better than that combo.
You don't get more 80s.
We'll come back to Christina Applegate after this.
No.
going to get us flagged up by YouTube or something, is it, for playing
this
hella popular song from 1991? That's got to be a mistake, because this was definitely 81.
This won't come out on here.
Oh, okay.
But I might need to find the version to cut in so people know what we're talking about. Yeah.
It's good though, isn't it? But the one of the good things about Don't Tell Mum the Babysitter's Dead is her brother, her oldest brother. Well, she's got three brothers. So there's baby brother, middle brother, older brother, and then sister who's somewhere near younger brother's age. And older brother is like a metalhead, and he's always just sitting around listening to metal with his friends. So you should watch it just for that, because he's like typical I keep saying 80s film. I'm going to insist this is from the 80s, even though it keeps telling me it's 1991. I refuse to believe this is 91.
So is there metal on the soundtrack?
And good question. Not sure. Find out. But he's like a total metalhead, but then the end ruins it, because then he like starts to get all serious and he gets a proper job and he cuts his hair.
Oh,
and that's how
no.
Yeah. It does that whole thing. But Christina Applegate is a very lucky lady, because we all know who she had a relationship with. Do you know?
She had
a relationship with Billy Worth. Billy Worth, who is from The Lost Boys, who recently was at Liverpool Comic Con. And I heard a video today and he calls it Comic Con. So that's a shame. But he went out with Christina Applegate, which is a very beautiful pairing. Two very beautiful people.
I feel like she...
I can genuinely only be happy for her. Like, I don't even feel jealous. I just feel genuinely happy for her, because I think, oh my God, imagine.
I feel like she would have dated guys in hair metal bands. She sort of has the look of a...
She's got Billy Worth. She's got the best of everything. He's like, not like all, oh, I'm off all day playing stuff. He's like, I'm an actor, so I'm also just here throughout the day, and I'm also incredibly good looking. But yeah, I would love to meet Christina Applegate just to say well done.
Just high five her.
Just go, oh my God. Do you still think about that? I bet you do. What were we talking about? Oh, you were talking about if there's any metal songs.
I mean, modern English, Life's Rich Tapestry.
It's weird because in the film, because, you know, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but so their mum goes away, leaves them with a babysitter who's like a real grouch, and then she dies, and then hilarity ensues. You know, it's the usual thing. But she, you know, because it's summer and her mum's apparently gone for the entire summer, which is like 3 months, and they're going to starve to death otherwise, she has to get a job. And so, of course, she gets a job at like a fashion industry. And she's really good at it because she's like young. And David Coffney pops up looking all 90s, hella 90s, being a bit of a sleaze. And just 90s sleaze, not to her, but just these, you know, like, I work in an office. And then she's like really good at a job because she's so young and she's got all these fresh new ideas, and everyone thinks she's so old, but actually she's, you know, it's that whole thing. But every time she pops her head in on a brother, he's like a waster because he listens to metal, obviously.
But not on the soundtrack, apparently.
And he's just hanging out with his friends, you know, like not taking life too seriously. No, because he's a teenager and it's summer. But so she gets annoyed, but anytime you'd see him, he'd be with his friends, like just messing about. And I've got a feeling I might be getting confused with various other things, because this happens a lot, because this happens in the same scenes happening. Oh gosh, I've completely, the Burbs with Corey Feldman. He's like a metalhead and he hangs around with wasters, and it's, you know, they're, you're a waster and your friends are wasters. What are you going to do with your life? It's that whole thing. So it's, if you've seen The Burbs, you've basically seen the metal scenes in...
We came out at the same time,
didn't
it?
Don't Tell Mum the Babysitter's Dead, yeah. But then, spoiler alert, he cuts his hair and becomes a really good cook, and becomes a cook for this fashion show that they end up throwing in her back garden. For the big fashion house thing, and it goes like really, really well. And the rest is history, and she's a really big success. And it's just goes to show what happens when you put your mind to it.
I think Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
You know the bit in Donnie Darko where he has hypnotherapy and they're trying to find out what's wrong with him, and he starts
touching himself,
whacking off, as you might say. I think I heard in the original script it was Kelly Bundy, Christine Applegate, but she didn't want them to use it, so he says Alyssa Milano instead.
Oh, really?
Or is it the other way around?
I can't remember.
Donnie Darko kids as a bang up to date reference for you.
Right, we're not going to use any reference. I mean, clear. I think 91 is a bit early. I mean, a bit late, even a bit modern.
Yeah.
So we're only going to be using references that are old for old people.
Okay, so do you want to introduce the podcast?
Oh, welcome to Can I Pod with Madness. Where we're talking about early 90s films, which makes no sense to what we're talking about, except it sort of does, because like my main point is there is metal in it. It's relevant. It's somewhat associated with what we're talking about now.
Well,
before
we get into what we're going to talk about, I feel like I must flag up something. There's a podcast called Dystopian Dance Party, and they gave us a very glowing review. They basically shouted us out in their last episode, and they sort of basically sold this podcast better than I've ever been able to do. And basically,
I genuinely can't understand why anyone would do that, because it seems insane. Like, well, I honestly don't mean that in an insulting way to them.
The upshot of it was that they reviewed Kerrang, but kinda. They don't really get to Kerrang for ages. And I'm like, yes, that is exactly our thing.
I think where we're now into today's... Is that 15 minutes?
Yeah. Right, okay. We've been talking about Don't Tell Mum the Babysitter's Dead.
I desperately try and keep things somewhat related. And it was the metal guy in that. That's not how it started. But also the metal guy in that and the lead actress in it also dated Billy Worth from Lost Boys. So that's pretty metal. There's nothing not metal about this, is what I'm trying to say. But it started purely because you went, all right, let's just go for it. And then, all right, let's just go for it is a thing. If you like Mel B, which we do. Everyone likes Mel B. Stupid thing to say. Everyone's favourite.
Getting back to...
Kerrang.
How... we don't ever stay on topic. This was described as a virtue by Dystopian Dance Party. Aww. And I can only recommend their stuff to you. They are very off topic. I mean, they're currently doing a series about the films of Pauly Shore, right? And I don't give a fuck about Pauly Shore. I don't think I've ever even seen a Pauly Shore movie.
California Man?
Or,
which, let's talk about metal, because it's got You're Invited But Your Friends Can't Come by Vince Neil on the soundtrack.
The best Motley Crue spin-off record.
Pew, pew. It's got lasers in it and everything.
So
brilliant segue there.
They are currently doing a podcast series about the films of Pauly Shore. But
that's my Pauly Shore.
Which it's I've never normally
it's,
be
it's not a very good one.
I've never normally be interested in, but just because of their vibe and them getting off topic the whole time. And I originally found them, they did a series where they review all of the autobiographies of each of the members of KISS.
Nice.
I'm a lightweight, I've only read Paul Stanley's, but they've read all four and they've got a lot to say about KISS, but definitely look them. If you like us, and God knows someone must.
Possibly.
I don't imagine there's many people out there that do, but our handful of listeners, if you're not already listening to Dystopian Dance Party, they love Prince, love stupid hair metal. They're sort of like the American equivalent of us. But
are they American?
Yeah.
How sexy. That's made everything a bit sexier.
They don't give a shit whether anyone's listening to them or not.
Maybe it's just our fabulous British accents that are charming them.
Would you know
I'm pulling like a sort of a British face. You can't see it, but I'm kind of like flipping my hair back. My hair's tied back, but you can imagine kind of Hugh Grant. Imagine me as a very pleasant Hugh Grant.
You know, when we went to New York,
yeah,
I thought, right, my accent's going to fucking wow them because those Americans, those Yankees, they love a British person. Not a fucking...
Not you.
No one was charmed in the slightest.
I think we were in Times Square where there's probably more British people than there is Americans. So I think probably the wrong place. Mm. Maybe we went somewhere slightly less...
Touristy.
Maybe you'd have a chance. But your accent is... It's not great over here, honest.
It's all over the place, my accent.
It could be better. Okay.
Right, thanks.
Well, like I said, you don't just want smoke blowing up your ass all the time. Let's keep it real. Come on.
Keeping it real.
Christina Applegate and Blue Earth. If you happen to want to Google an image of them two together, because there is a Google image of them two together and they both look fabulous. Google it now just so you can see what I'm talking about. Beautiful couple. Like ridiculous. Like it goes beyond, like you don't, like I'm a really jealous person, but I can't even feel jealousy when I look at them because you think, yeah, well, you, well done on like succeeding in life.
Billy Joel, Billy Elliot, Billy Bob Thornton and Billy Cosby.
That's none of them.
Billy Worth.
Christina Applegate.
This is in the period, isn't it? Look at it.
Oh, look at that.
That's some...
Oh, look at that. That's the one I'm thinking of.
That's
early 90s
rock style, isn't it?
Look at that.
Who's that guy?
I don't know. Some guy going, aren't these hella beautiful?
I mean, that's her with Brad Pitt.
Right, don't forget that. Look at that as a couple. Come on. I don't care about who he's with now because I will start to get jealous again.
Well, who's she with now? Come on, you know celeb gossip.
Yeah, I don't know. She recently got a Hollywood star Walk of Fame. Hollywood Walk of Fame star on the Hollywood. Or what do you say?
Good for her. A star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah, that she recently got that.
Well, we salute you, Christine Applegate.
Yeah, well done. I don't have deep cuts, I did tell you that.
Okay. Well, before we get to what we're going to talk about...
No, but let's go with my deep cuts. It is either Dragging the Line or Word Up.
Okay. Well, which is it?
Dragging the Line. Okay. It's the best. I'm so sorry, Mel, but it's
Word
the best
Up
song.
Next week.
Yeah.
Right. So before we get to what we're going to talk about, I wanted to show you, last time we looked at Kerrang! Contacts 1988.
Yeah.
There were a couple of pictures in that magazine that were ripped out at some point, and I've found them and I just want to...
Well, have you got a picture of Biorb in your folder?
Well...
Is there a reason for this?
Would you remember we talked about Psychic Sally's Biorb?
Oh, right,
that
okay.
This is my repository of images.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so...
A Biorb's a fish tank. If you know fish tanks, they're like a... really cool looking fish tank.
Okay.
Just not everyone knows what Biorb is.
So would you like to describe this image?
Well, it's Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses, the classic era.
I mean, Axl's drawn the short straw of being on the centerfold, but like it literally, I mean, luckily his head's slightly to the side, so it's only sort of cutting through his neck. He's wearing a t-shirt that says,
well,
fuck dancing, let's fuck, I think. And it's a picture of a girl with her arse out.
There's a very popular phrase, which is fuck art, let's dance. Which is, let's not be pretentious, let's get to it. But he's done a...
fuck dancing, let's fuck.
Yeah, he's done his own little spin on it. Very, very clever. So,
speaking of, nothing to do with this, but I saw a video today of... Lenny Kravitz I think he's releasing a new song from his new album, and he receives it through the post on a record, and he's topless and he's got no glasses on, and just enjoy that. And then so he's got two dogs, and then he goes, come on, and then he goes out with the dogs into the garden, which is all full of palm trees. Like, his garden's just full of palm trees.
So this is the video, the new video?
I don't think it's a video.
Oh, is it
it's,
not?
No, it's just like a promo thing.
Oh, right, okay.
Like, if you look up, obviously he won't keep you waiting for this, but if you go on Instagram and look up Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, right, okay, well, going to have to do that on the phone.
All right, because you cannot look at Instagram on your laptop.
No, not really. Lenny Kravitz. Oh, he's got a blue tick.
Yeah, of course he has.
New single, Human, out now. He's getting his mail. He's shirtless. He's looking amazing. He's 59. Just rub my face in it, why don't you? Oh, it's vinyl, obviously.
Yeah, listen to it, vinyl, yeah. And then he's got some dogs. Listen to it. Enjoying it.
He's got flares on.
Look at his garden. All palm trees. All palm trees. Like, the way we have, like, bushes, he's got palm trees. How tropical.
I mean, it's how the other half live, isn't it?
Yeah. But, go and enjoy that.
Right, so the other image that was in Kerrang, it's Kirk Hammett from Metallica. And would you like to describe this image?
He's got lots of toys. So he's got, it looks like he's got a skull that you might put some sweets in the top, maybe. He's got some Transformers. He's got a stormtrooper. He's got
a 12-inch Kenner stormtrooper.
He's got Boba Fett.
12-inch Boba Fett, yeah.
That guy looks like that Zorg. Is it Zorg from
Zerg?
Zerg from
I think it might
Toy
be
Story?
Voltron. That really is like Zerg. Isn't it?
Oh, I thought the other one was more that.
This one. I think that's Voltron. He's got an alien.
Predator? Oh, he's got, that's a, what's that? That's like a...
Mad balls.
Something like that. Like one of those squeezy balls from the 80s. It's like a really weird face, a bit like Garbage Pail Kids. And he's got Spider-Man.
Look at his hand.
He's got a Freddy Krueger glove on.
He's got a ton of really old comics.
He looks like he's in my office full of just shit that he liked. Because in my office at home, I've got photos of me and Zach Galligan from Gremlins. And me and Judge Reinhold. And me and Police Academy. Anyone else?
Well, you've got an actual gremlin.
I've got, a full-size gremlin, which I've hung up, interestingly, with a coat hook through its back. And then the worm from Labyrinth. And I've got four smaller gremlins. Some Lego Lost Boys and a Lego Gremlin and a Lego Freddy Krueger. So it's my setup is as professional as his is what I'm trying to say.
I think he's got a Metallica skateboard.
Oh yeah, I think that toy there looks like that American thing. I can't think of what his name is.
Well, that's Astro Boy.
Okay, is that American?
Japanese.
But popular in America, not in
England. Yeah. He's got a Mego Captain
Kirk.
That
looks like Star Trek.
Yeah. He's got a Mego Klingon.
I used to have Star Trek toys.
You did? Which one? Which characters?
Riker and Lady with curly hair.
Deanna Troi.
Yeah.
You've told me.
And because they were given to my brother, who was 4 years younger, and he was not that interested. And for some reason, I just really enjoyed playing with those two. Like, way too old to enjoy this.
Did you make
this.
Them but, kiss?
No. What I used to do was, what was always fun, and you probably did this yourself, you make some sort of parachute and you chuck them out your bedroom window and see how they parachute down. And on Riker, though, I tip-exed his beard and his moustache so that it looked white.
So you made old Riker from All Good Things out of a young Riker.
Young sexy Riker, yeah. But, yeah,
that's, that's called a custom.
Genuinely had a lot of fun with those two. It was basically chucking them out the window, but just for some reason it was, don't know, just thoroughly enjoyed playing with them. But so the, I don't know what the other toys are. There's some things that I don't think we know.
But he's obviously using the Metallica Millions.
I think it could be Inspector Gadget, but I don't think it is. Doesn't it?
Yeah, no, that
does. Do you know what I mean? Like, because he's got that Inspector Gadget hat on and lots of skulls.
I think he's got some Micronauts, like really, really old comics, like old Mad when it was an actual comic rather than the magazine, detective comics like from the 40s, Human Torch, Horn of Fear. So he's a proper fucking nerd. So there's Axel with his fuck dancing, let's fuck t-shirt. And, you know, he's got a Harley Davidson t-shirt and, you know, at slash his age, just smoking, looking cool. But, you know, Kirk Hammett.
X-Rose.
Kirk Hammett,
just jumps into
nerd.
The clouds, starts waiting on this dude.
But I've seen this before, and I'm sure my best friend at school had this picture on his wall or something, because I've definitely seen this.
Nice.
I mean, I don't really know why you would put that up when you had pictures of Lisa Dominique
Ladies.
And Dropesh, but there you go. Right, okay. So shall we get into what we're going to talk about this week?
Yeah.
I mean, this is clearly going to have to be a two-parter because I'm doing a Q magazine.
Meant to be doing a tight 40, which is what we call when we're going to try and stick to 40 minutes. Tight 40, and I think we're up to 30 minutes.
We're
going to
smash our way through this magazine in 10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay.
Okay, so we've got Q magazine from July 1992.
That is so modern.
I mean,
we're even later than Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. It's been out a whole year. No one even cares anymore.
We are bringing things bang up to date.
It's got Prince on the front.
It's got Prince. It's got Crowded House.
You shared with me a reel today with
Conan O'Brien, yeah.
Talking about Prince. And it's another funny Prince story. If you find stories about Prince, it's just very funny because he's a very funny individual. And
well, I think
he's kind of living the life that I would want to live, where you're just a bit weird all the time. But Conan O'Brien describes seeing him as he looks like a Prince statue, like he's like made out of porcelain, like he's so perfect. He's so perfect, and he just appears all the time. He just appears, and then he just sort of disappears. But yeah, so God of Prince.
I thought this magazine was very apt. There's two articles I want to talk about in this, and they seem very of the moment. But we will get to that. So, yeah, The Modern Guide to Music and More. Big old picture of U2 on the cover. There's an ad for Even Better Than The Real Thing from Acton Baby and big old condom on the ad. But
that's
thankfully not used.
Unpleasant.
So, stories. So, this is the news section. This is what grown-up people call mayhem.
Okay.
So, first story, Prince. On Prince's Antipodean tour, see page 62, a proper air of mystery and intrigue in regard to female liaisons, both artistic and social, was carefully maintained. Inevitably, there were the after-show forays into Australian clubland with a, quote, raven-haired, but also, quote, blonde beauty, and the video shoot round the pool at his penthouse suite with, quote, four nude models. Still talking about Prince, the question of the thank you to Kate Bush on the Diamonds and Pearls sleeve has been revived. A source close to the Suburban songstress averred that, contrary to earlier official statements, she had indeed recorded with Prince, though it was unclear whether the results would appear. asked to confirm or deny the starry conjunction, two senior purple spokespeople replied with
purple
both.
Purple spokespeople.
Yes and no. So Prince recorded something with Kate Bush, but I don't think that's ever come to light, has it? Is that in the vault?
I don't think so. Yeah, not that I've heard.
I mean, it's not surprising of him because he just loved all music, didn't he? He was like into pretty much everything. But I mean, I'm sure someone out there would be able to tell us whether what the story is about that. I mean, she's pretty reclusive. You don't hear much from her, do you? I mean, we don't. She never gets in touch with us. But like, you don't.
She's rubbish at texting. We've got like a WhatsApp group, you, me, and her, and she never joins in. We put stuff. Even just like, hey, do you see that funny thing on that thing that time? And then you'll be like, yeah. And then just silence from her. It's quite rude, actually.
We're constantly telling her how much we like December is Magic again.
I keep putting GIFs of her up and she doesn't even react to them. It's at this stage, it's getting just embarrassing for her, really, because she's the one who's looking like a recluse.
I've got another story for you.
I'm having trouble with you saying story, and it's spelt story, and it's, you know, like there's not story spelled with a K or something.
It's for grown up people.
Sort of broke my brain with, I'm expecting everything to be spelt wrong and a bit weird.
Normal service will be resumed when we get back to Kerrang. But
for God's sake, spell everything with a K.
Yeah, Q didn't even spell things
Q
with Qs.
Spelt with a K.
So, one of this year's most unlikely couplings has Craig McLachlan, former Aussie soap star.
Oh, everyone remembers him.
I mean, were you a fan of...
Oh, Mona.
Were you a fan?
Ooh, Mona.
Of Henry.
No, because I was a fan of Jason Donovan.
You were Jason all the way, weren't you? Yeah. Co-writing in Los Angeles with Kiss guitarist Paul Stanley, the hero of his teens. Together, they wrote a track called A Lover Like You for Craig's eagerly anticipated new album. I think that's a bit sarcastic, isn't it? Which, of course, is purported to display him in a more, quote, adult mode.
Oh. That really happened?
I mean, according to Q wouldn't make it up.
Wow.
All right. So the first article that I wanted to get into, the new originals, it's about ABBA. ABBA are back. Well, ABBA are kind of back. ABBA aren't really back. But basically the upshot of this is Bjorn Again, who are an Australian ABBA tribute band. And they're sort of quite big at the moment. Also, Erasure have released their ABBA-esque EP.
Nice.
And U2 and Nirvana are on their case. So it's just talking about, like, basically it's 1992. ABBA were painfully unhip for 10 years, but all of a sudden people are sort of talking about them again and sort of reappraising them. So this is about Bjorn Again. And it's a quote from the very real, very Swedish Bjorn Ulvaeus. Quote, I'm flattered by the fact they're doing it in a way, the unbearded Swede concedes. Quote, I'm a bit offended that they impersonate us in a dialect that resembles the Swedish chef from The Muppets. I don't have that heavy an accent, do I? If they take that away, fine. I've only seen them on TV, but I hear they do it very well. I can't really explain their success, but if people can't have the original. So I thought this was really interesting because obviously right now we've got what they call ABBA Voyage, sort of CGI extravaganza where it's not even people. But this is...
Holograms.
They're not holograms, are they?
Yeah. Apparently not.
So 1992 looks to be the year of ABBA Revisited. Polydor, having secured the group's back catalogue, are planning an autumn offensive leading with a 4-CD box set. Bjorn Again have spread the word as far as Wogan and The Late Show. U2 are playing Dancing Queen over the house PA on the Zoo Tour, and now Erasure have released ABBA-esque, a new EP of ABBA covers, Lay Your Love on Me, Voulez-Vous, SOS, Take a Chance on Me. To me, the pop charts haven't been the same since ABBA's demise, reminisces Erasure singer and long-term fan Andy Bell. It was the first time I'd heard gorgeous harmonies and angelic choruses that made you feel really elated. I love the fact that when he went to make disco like Voulez-Vous, they fully understood it. So were you a fan of Erasure doing ABBA songs? Because I know we're...
I was a fan of Erasure, so yeah.
You generally, I mean, what was the appeal of Erasure for you?
I don't know what you can't like about Erasure.
I mean, there's a lovely picture of him sort of as a devil with
I mean, that is a good picture.
Quite an alarming cod piece he's wearing as well.
Yeah, just, I don't know how, I mean, because, I mean, I'd class myself sometimes as dead inside, and even I like them. So I don't, I can't say if you're dead inside, you won't like them. But no, there's just nothing to not like. It's fun, pop, upbeat, good songs. We had the hits on tape where, and just used to listen to it like on loop. Just loop, loop, loop all the time.
It's so, like the best of.
Yeah, and it used to start and end with the same song.
Which was?
I can't remember. Bring it up. Because it was so, because obviously on that, it's fine, except that on tape, what that means is when it's flipping to the next side, you listen to that song again, which it will have only come out on tape, surely, first time.
So was it called Pop?
It was called, yeah, I think it was Pop 20 Hits.
First 20
yeah,
Hits.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, Who Needs Love Like That is the first track.
Oh, God, so many good songs in it. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Told you. So on tape, you go from Who Needs Love Like That to Who Needs Love Like That to Who Needs Love Like That, and then you just bounce back and forth. But you have, you know, bangers in between, so it's not a problem. And a little rundown, you've got Sometimes the Circus, A Little Respect, You Surround Me, Chorus, Breath of Life, Heavenly, absolute brilliant songs. It Doesn't Have to Be, Ship of Fools, Stop, Blue Savannah, Love to Hate You, Take a Chance on Me, All and More, Victim of Love, Chains of Love, Drama, Star, Am I Right, Who Needs Love Like That. It's absolute bangers. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. If you had to ask my favourite right now, I don't know. Maybe Drama, but also Heavenly Action is Chorus as well.
How does Chorus go?
It's I can't sing because it starts with like a noise. Play it.
Don't they all start with a noise? Bear with us.
Isn't it the one that goes, and they covered up the sun into the beds to float away? And the fishes in the sea got to see.
Well, we don't need to play it now.
Well, it might not be that one. I think it is.
Skip.
There you go. Don't get confused. This isn't about to be me singing in a second. It's...
You never know what the night may bring. Go ahead with your dreaming.
Oh.
You know. Do, 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 do.
You never know what you mean to be doing.
He's attacking a wedding cake with a carving knife. This is the most replayed bit. This one come out. It'd just be us coming out on this. Yeah. Yeah.
For my CDT lesson, once in CDT, they made you for some reason draw like a album cover or something. I can't remember what the brief was, but I made an album cover for Chorus by Erasure, and I did a tree and all the branches spelled out Chorus. It was
nice.
It was hella good.
You don't still have that?
No, but so yeah, there you go. There's my fun fact. CDT lessons. I was going to tell you about. No, it wouldn't be appropriate to tell them.
Well,
this.
You can't leave us hanging. You can't queue up a story and then
a
not...
A teacher in our CDT lesson. I've told
you this,
yes.
Is this the rude thing you wrote?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not going to tell that. No.
Well, she's not listening.
No, that was a different thing.
Okay.
So we went to the teacher, and in CDT, it's like in... you know, any lesson like that, if you've ever had one, a bit like in Detroit Rock City, where they want to go out and the teacher's just like getting on with stuff and like they don't care because they, you know, they've set you off with a task and they just want to do what they're doing. But he was writing a letter to someone, this teacher was, and it was obviously an ex-flame or something like that. And so we kept going back to pretend that we had something to ask him so that we could read like another few lines.
You're looking over his shoulder.
No, because he was in front of us with the letter like upside down.
Yeah.
So we had to keep going back to sort of read like a little, like a few extra words and go back and keep going back to go, oh, what did you mean by wood? And then he'd be like, you know, wood. And we'd be like, God, yeah, or like wood, right. And then we'd try and read like a few more words. And I'm not going to read because that'd be an incredible invasion of privacy. But I'll tell you after.
No, you can't say it on a podcast.
Because
that guy will not be listening.
No, but you never know. These are real human beings with real feelings. It's not appropriate. But he was just writing letters to someone. But as kids, that was very funny.
I mean, this sounds like the Simpsons episode where...
It was a bit like that.
Like Edna Krabappel falls in love with Gordy, who's...
Yeah, a bit like that.
They've made him up.
Yeah.
Sensitive love letters are my specialty. Dear baby, welcome to Dumpville. Population, you.
Though I'll be inoculating babies in Kampuchea, my heart will always be with you.
That sucks. How about crocodiles bit off my face?
Anytime I hear the wind blow, it will whisper the name.
Oh, that's very good, Lisa.
P.S. I am gay.
Dearest Edna, I must leave you. Why? I cannot say. Where? You cannot know. How I will get there? I haven't decided yet. But one thing I can tell you. Anytime I hear the wind blow, it will whisper the name Edna.
Oh, maybe someone in the class has made.
So just say a few words what he wrote.
No, I can't.
Was it spicy?
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was genuinely heartfelt. And that's why I can't say it, because it was emotional. It was. I'll tell you after. I'm sure I've told you. But so this teacher was the one who set us off on the task of doing an album. So I was like, do an album cover. I've got a letter to write, people. I'm going to woo her back somehow. I can't possibly write a letter in my own time. It has to be while I'm teaching these kids how to do woodwork and metalwork and whatever CDT was. I think just
communication design and technology, I believe.
Right.
How did you write Erasure? Was that also in a tree?
Not sure. I think it was just at the bottom. And then course was in the tree, I think. From memory. Not a fascinating story, but it's a story nonetheless.
Okay, I'm going to read you a bit more of this article.
Yeah.
So talking about Bjorn again. The leading light of Australia's covers band scene, brackets, the present rash includes the Australian Doors, the Rolling Clones and Elton Jack. Bjorn again had no idea they'd enjoy such success. At the end of their second national UK tour, they play the Reading Festival below the Beastie Boys, who've asked Bjorn again to support them. On the day, headlined by Nirvana, no strangers to Bjorn again's gigs themselves, apparently. And they make references to like REM playing Does Your Mother Know in their sets, because it's Q, they have to mention REM and they have to mention U2.
I mean, we've mentioned REM earlier today.
Like, this was when people were just first starting to get the idea of cover bands.
Okay.
Was it like tribute bands? So what's your feelings on tribute bands? I've seen the Australian Doors and I've seen the Counterfeit Stones, not the Rolling Clones. And we did see an ABBA tribute, didn't we, when we were on holiday that time?
Oh, yeah. But we were on an all-inclusive.
And we were hammered.
Yeah, that was the night when we had... Because in the all-inclusive, it was ridiculous. You know, you'd ask for a vodka and coke and it'd be like, all vodka and a bit of coke, like, which is sort of fine, except that it then ruins the next day of your whole day because you were terrible. And I mean, it was very fun, but I'm not sure if we watched it like sober, whether it would be good.
I can only remember them doing about four songs.
Yeah,
they weren't on for very long.
They could have been on for 3 hours for all we knew. Yeah. But
well, they didn't play "Does Your Mother Know," which was my favorite.
Didn't
ABBA
they
song,
though? Yeah. But did they not though?
No. But the
How
guy played when they
this
came
about
out on
20
stage.
20 years ago.
The guy did play a whole lot of love for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
how
just
you,
like a little bit. Just
that?
Well, because it's like an ABBA tribute band playing Led Zeppelin.
That's weird.
Like, but just for
it's
a few.
One way that you can remember it.
Just for a few seconds, like as they were coming on stage.
Just like sort of kids dancing, you know, like because obviously when kids are on holiday, they all stay up late and they're all really excited. So there's lots of kids who are just up really late and like dancing on the dance floor. And that's right.
I remember one of the women asking the kids if they'd seen Mamma Mia, because obviously that's all
right.
That you can talk to a child about, isn't it? You can't say.
How do you remember that?
Well, because I don't know. Weird. I just remember.
But other tribute bands, I don't know. Don't really think of. I don't know. I can't think of any.
Well, we've been to see Musical Box.
Oh right. Well, does that count?
Well, yeah, they're a tribute to Genesis.
Are they?
And we saw that Jethro Tull tribute.
Right.
And didn't we see a Guns N' Roses tribute?
But I think because they weren't things that I necessarily wanted to see, that it just sort of registered as an event that I had to be at rather than anything else.
Well, what in an ideal world, if we were going out this weekend,
yeah,
and there's a tribute band on,
yeah.
Who would you like to see?
Well, okay, good point, because we have seen we went to a thing at a hotel where it's a 3-course meal and a tribute act, which is, you know, like what you do when you're 70, but we did it like 20 years ago, and it was Lionel Richie.
It was a lot.
And that was... Yeah. That was fun.
And a sort of chicken in the basket lunch, dinner, yeah. Wasn't it? It was proper old-fashioned. But it was fun. It was really...
Pre-veganism, but yeah. he was good because he did all the Lionel hits and then just started going into other stuff like...
He played Ladies' Night, didn't he?
Yeah, and stuff like... who would it be? Like, oh my God... Luther Vandross and people like that, and it just went into other stuff that you'd also like if you kind of liked Lionel Richie. It was good.
Yeah, he looked a bit like him, didn't he?
Yeah, sort of. Remember?
I mean, he was just singing along to backing tracks, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he didn't have a
it was
band.
Good. No, it was good.
Oh, well, we saw that Freddie Mercury guy,
oh, yeah.
Didn't we?
That, no,
and
that
was again
that
with
was,
a
that
meal.
Was good. That wasn't with a meal. Yeah.
God, we sound like we're on a cruise in our 60s.
So we went on a Saga cruise. I did hear an advert for Saga cruises the other day, and it said if something really weird, like if you're not surprised or taken aback each day or something, you get your money back or something. And I thought, well, I'd get my money back because it takes a lot to surprise me. And like, I'm so sort of unimpressed generally by things that, you know, I'm meant to impress. Like, I'd be really impressed by, you know, something stupid, but nothing that was meant to have achieved that. But it did say that you have to let them know within 24 hours or something. So you've got to get on the cruise, be really unimpressed straight away, and then let them know while you're on the cruise, I think, still. So you can't wait till the end and then get home and go, nah, that was shit. I don't think that's the point. But so if anyone is going on a Saga cruise, look into that, because if you're not impressed in the first 24 hours, I think you can get your money back or something. Check the T's and C's. This is not my responsibility if you don't get it.
Yeah, this is not a paid advertisement.
It's not paid advertisement by Saga. I'm not affiliated in any way. I'm not a lawyer, so don't come at me if you can't get your money back. But it was something weird. It was weirdly, really weird. Like if your breath hasn't been taken away or something, you know, something really weird. Like, well, that doesn't happen. It's like when we were watching Limmy once and he said, like, lol. He was making fun of the word, like, lol and stuff like that. And he was like, the most you do is just breathe a bit harder out of your nose or something. It's like... Yeah, like that's reality. When you're really laughing nowadays, it's like that. But so taking your breath away, even on a cruise is...
There's probably small print saying...
Did you breathe?
We're not going to honour this at all.
Yeah, maybe. I think they're just hoping people don't claim, but oops, I've put it out there because we're talking about being old. Saga cruises... Not affiliated, not sponsored.
Talking about the elderly,
yeah.
This is not an article about Elton John, but it's about Bernie Taupin, who, as you know, writes all of Elton John's lyrics.
Okay.
And I read through this and, it's fine. The one thing that I think of when I think of Bernie Taupin is at some science fiction awards, he introduced William Shatner performing Rocket Man.
Good evening. In 1972, when Elton John and I wrote Rocket Man, it became very popular among the listeners. Due to the interest in the meaning of the song, now in 1978 at the Science Fiction Film Awards, I'm truly proud once again to present my Rocket Man as interpreted by our host, William Shatner.
Have you ever seen the clip of William Shatner doing Rocket Man in a sort of spoken word?
I think so, in spoken, yeah.
Yeah. And like, he gives him this very effusive introduction, and it's just, you know, it's William Shatner just talking.
You've met William Shatner.
I've sort of stood next to him.
You've and stood have, next to him.
Had my photo taken.
It's more than I've done.
I mean, he's a ledge, isn't he? I've got
Do
a
you
lot,
want
lot of
mention
time.
Mention that.
I've got a lot of time for William Shatner.
Hmm? But it's just weird that you'd mention William Shatner and not mention
I'd
that you've stood next to him in a photo.
I'd forgotten. I mean, he just sat there, and you know, we just sort of stood next to him and grinned like idiots.
Tell everyone what you did. To meet him. Went to a Star Trek.
Oh, right.
Jesus.
Well,
Christ.
I would have thought. Obviously, I was at a Star Trek convention.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Where else would he be?
Oh, he's only... Are you trying to tell me that Shatner only exists now at Star Trek conventions? He literally doesn't exist anywhere else. He can be in between places at all. He's only at Star Trek conventions and that's it. Okay. Is that what you're telling me? Right.
In my head, I know the whole story. I realise that our dear listeners don't know the whole
story. That's literally what you complain I do all the time.
I know. And it's terrible. So I went to a Star Trek convention and I got a photograph with the man himself and was very excited because, you know, he's a ledge. And then we went to the Q&A and then every time he was asked a question, he's a very good orator, but... Like, he literally didn't answer any questions. Like, someone would say, do you remember when you filmed Star Trek? That was good. And then he'd just talk about, you know, horse riding for 20 minutes. You know, he had patter that he wanted to get to, but he didn't. Aww. He wasn't really that bothered about. Like, someone said, what advice would you give to the writers who don't seem to be able to write Star Trek anymore? And then he just talked about something completely different. Aww. He just obviously wanted to, you know, just go off. But he's a ledge. And I genuinely like his version of Mr. Tambourine Man. Well, have you heard his Mr. Tambourine Man?
I've heard lots of spoken word things.
He does Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and he does Mr. Tambourine Man and he does them in a sort of Shakespearean monologue. But the music is like proper, it sounds like Star Trek music because it's done in the 60s. It's that sort of slightly weird psychedelic stuff. But look him up. Yeah, okay. Well, let's come back to it. Let's come back to cue number 70. From July 1992. There's your episode, you filthy animals. A tight 56, that is.
Once you cut out all the crap, though, it might be a tight 40.
I never really cut out the crap.
Why is Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter Dead official trailer 2024?
Holy shit.
What?
There is a remake that we didn't know about.
That's like the same thing?
That's
fine, but I'll stick with my.
But isn't it weird that we've talked about Don't Tell Mum the Babysitter's Dead for about half an hour?
I was kind of just ignoring that picture above that says Don't Tell Mum the Babysitter's Dead official trailer 2024.
Well, there you go. That's your film recommendation for this week.
I don't know. The thing is, though, it's a bit like trying to make Home Alone now in that there's elements of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead that are believable because of the time. So, you know, she can't get in touch with her mum or tell people or whatever, and she doesn't want her because she doesn't want her mum coming home. But like, there's no mobiles, there's no social media, so there's all like...
But
you know,
they explain that in the trailer. She's on a retreat. She can't talk to them.
Okay, right. Chill out. The goofiness of films that were made in the 80s and 90s are fun and nostalgic because they were believable because it was such a different world. Whereas now it's like You'd stay at home and watch Netflix the whole time, like, wouldn't you?
Well, no, kids would want to party, don't they? Unless they're with Gen Z, they want to stay home and watch Netflix.
Go hiking on the weekend and not drink. but with your kid brother and sister? I don't know. I just think the world's a lot less interesting a place now, and so I just and in the 90s, Christina Applegate was able to come up with all these like hot new what she did was did uniforms. So because her boyfriend worked in like a van selling hot dogs, he was dressed like it was like Clownberg, I think it was. Yeah. And so she did outfits for, you should watch it because it's very funny now, waitresses and like bellboy, you know, stuff like that. And they were all like proper 90s, like they were so 90s, it was painful. But like you don't get those kind of extremes of, this is a hot new style. Doesn't this look different and new and like this is going to blow people away? Because now you could put anyone in sort of any clothing and they'd be like, I've seen that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You don't get that sort of extreme of, this is new and hot and interesting and this is a bit avant-garde, even though you've just put a teen in a slightly weird waitress costume that looks a bit futuristic, so therefore it's 90s. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
That the we are so used to seeing variations and versions of almost everything now that nothing's a surprise or a shock really. Whereas back in 91, if she came out and saying, look, I'm going to dress this waitress like this, and it's just slightly modern, you're like, oh my God, this girl's like a fashion guru.
But you think like the audience that this is aimed at are going to be young kids who don't have those cultural associations? They'll be like JoJo saying she's invented gay pop because she just doesn't think that exists, because she doesn't have cultural information.
Yeah, good so point. Yeah, maybe.
This the new one could put people in exactly the same clothes and it's going to blow 15-year-old mind.
Put a T-shirt over a long sleeve top and be like, oh my God, it's like the fashion future. Oh my God, what's she doing? It's a T-shirt over a long sleeve top. Yeah, good point, yeah. Oh, wait, are you saying I'm so old? I have so much life experience now that nothing surprises me, but I've forgotten that there are people younger than me who still get surprised by stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you might say you're jaded.
Wow, okay. It's a harsh reality check for me, but thanks for that. Cheers.
Do you want to leave our handful of listeners with a message?
Bow, bow, bow. We should look up Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead on Rotten Tomatoes first hand and new and a ridge, but no, that'll be a waste of time. Not really interested in whether they think it's good or not. It is good.
Yeah, take that, critics.
Yeah, shove that in your critic pipe hole. No, I don't have anything insightful to say.
Okay, well, take care of yourselves.
Stay metal.
Oh, and follow us on Instagram and leave us a review, which no one's ever done.
Do you ever encourage people to listen to the playlist that you create? Because you create playlists for each one.
I always forget,
I think some people might not realise that the playlists are just the songs that we cover rather than it's not nothing to do with us talking.
You don't have to listen to our jibber-jabber.
Yeah, you don't have to listen to us talking, but you can just listen to the songs that you pick out.
And various clips and
they are going to be a bit
fun
of a weird mix.
Because
I'm not sure whether anyone's going to listen to these, because it's not just metal, it's random stuff we talk about.
Well, I'm not imagining someone sits down for an evening, puts the feet up, has a nice cup of cocoa and watches the entire playlist. But if you're curious about any of the things we've talked about...
Why do you watch it, Grandad? Why don't you just listen to it?
Because it's not just songs. It's like clips. It's, you know, bits of...
Okay.
You know, I mean, there's a trailer for Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, for one thing.
Oh, you put that on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course I have. All part of the service that we provide for our beloved listeners.
It's a shame that metal's not a thing, though, anymore, because that kid in that one, the metal kid, wasn't a metal kid. So
well, he was a hip hop kid.
Yeah.
Hip hop's the new metal.
Yeah, that's so 2024.
You heard it here first. Hip hop is hot new sound. You want to look out for it.
Yeah. Watch for that coming in Kuang soon. Right. Stay metal.
Stay metal.
Enjoy. Bye.
All right, let's just go for it. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Yeah.